It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another Wealth Architect Podcast. Today, we have a special guest who helps business owners build long-term wealth and net worth through strategic investing and disciplined financial planning. With nearly 20 years of experience across Wall Street, consulting, and private wealth management, our gentleman guest today specializes in translating complex financial strategies into clear, actionable guidance that supports sustainable wealth growth. Our guest today is Wesley Rollins. Wesley, welcome.
Hey, thank you, sir. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here, and I'm ready to rock and roll, my friend.
So glad you're here. Let's talk about what you do and how you got there. Start us there.
So I manage wealth for high-income small business owners. We call them HISBOs. And how I got there, you know, the abbreviated version is I was raised by a single mom. She made $9 an hour. She's the best human on the planet. Somehow figured out a way to raise me based off of that little paycheck. When I was 11, I started working as a caddy at the local golf club on the rich side of town. And these guys sort of took me under their wing. And the number one rule of caddying is do not speak unless spoken to. So I got to absorb a lot of what they talked about. And it just got planted in my head of, hey, these guys oftentimes talk about money and investing and Wall Street and business ownership and all of that stuff. So I just said, hey, well, these guys seem happy and they get to play golf on the weekends. I should probably try to do what they're saying. And I set a goal of getting to Wall Street, and fast forward, I got to Wall Street, worked on the exchange, and worked for a boutique wealth management and consulting firm, et cetera, et cetera. And then eventually got an amazing opportunity from a mentor, and he said, hey, you know, why don't you take what you learned in Wall Street, come out here to California, help me build my clientele. You can also build your own book of business as well. And I always wanted to own my own company. So I said, okay, well, I'll do that. And then fast forward, I now own with two other partners, three entities. We collectively manage about $600 million under management. And most importantly, I love teaching this stuff. I'm a nerd at heart, and I'm super passionate about education.
I get it. That's cool. So your drives go 320 and straight down the middle, right?
Funny thing is, I don't even like golf.
Wow.
To this day, I cannot play. I'm from Philadelphia originally, so, like, you know, we just weren't big golfers anyway. It's too slow for me. I wish I liked it because so many of my clients love it, and I just can't do it.
Yeah, I get it. And my body doesn't want to play it anymore either.
Fair enough.
Not just my brain, it's my body and my score. So well, cool. So what are the hot topics these days in financial planning and wealth management?
So I think for me, I'm probably just an old soul. I say one thing to the team here and to all of our clients: disciplined execution of the fundamentals over time. Disciplined execution of the fundamentals over time. I'm a big fan of broccoli because I know broccoli works, right? It's just not sexy. So I think if we can repackage the fundamentals so they are appealing to people, so they're more likely to do them, that's where I sit. I like that. Like, I think results don't go out of style. And it's more about, in my view, getting people to do the fundamentals. Like, the bench press works. I've been to super fancy gyms all across the country, if not the world. And guess what is in every gym I've ever been to? The bench press. The bench press is arguably one of the oldest pieces of equipment that we could possibly use, but yet it still exists in every gym that I've been to. And also, by the way, it's usually filled up by the most muscular dudes in the gym. I have found a direct correlation with that, you know? So I'd like to think that's what I do in the finance space, right? Like, I will, let's learn the fundamentals, because most people just have never learned the fundamentals, like, really. And then what I say is, I'm going to teach you steps 1, 2, and 3. And then step number 4, which is the most important step. And step number 4 is, let's actually do steps 1, 2, and 3. I mean, how many times in the diet and fitness world have we heard of, like, our friend is just constantly trying a new diet, and then they end up becoming convinced that the fundamental diet doesn't work. Oh, it's not about calories in versus calories out. It's like, yes, it is. It's like, no, I've tried that. No, you probably haven't, right? Like, you might think you have, respectfully, but the human brain is really, it's really defensive. It's not a good calculator of our own performance. So chances are in the diet world, you maybe kind of tried a version of it, but then you got distracted, or you got disenchanted, or you, there was something else majestic that was that caught your attention, and you kind of fell for it, and therefore you never completed the full test. Meanwhile, all along, the fundamentals would have worked the entire time, and in fact, probably put you way above where you are currently. So anyway, sorry for the long explanation, but that's what I feel like I did.
No, it's good. I mean, it's always, you know, I asked you a question about what's new, and I loved your answer because it takes us back to sometimes what's new, what's old, right? And, you know, we've got all these new things coming at us, and, you know, new ETFs that do all these fancy things. And at the end of the day, if you do the fundamentals, you're probably going to, you know, be better off long term. So what is it you do? What is it you do for clients? Who's your typical client? And how do you help them specifically? If you can answer that question.
Yeah. So let's take high income small business owners, right? Like, I think it's so important for businesses to really identify who they want to work with, and like in a very niche way. So high income small business owners. Why? Because niche clients have niche problems. And when you can solve niche problems, they're more valuable problems to solve.
Sure.
So the first thing is we build a triangle, and you could probably, if people are watching on the screen. So the first thing that I do is I always say, okay, like, what is the philosophy? So philosophy, strategy, then tactics.
Okay.
At the philosophical level, what are we trying to accomplish? At the philosophical level, that's where we have goals, vision, values, mission, all of those things. Okay. Let's ground ourselves into, like, what do you actually want? And I know that sounds so easy and simple, but it's not. I mean, 99% of people I talk to don't have it documented, right? Because then if we don't plant our flag in the ground, then we can fall for a million different things, because so many things sound good. It's sure. Like, but is that actually what you want to try to accomplish, right? So then it's, okay, well, then once I know where a client wants to go philosophically, and then we go through a process, okay, who's on the team, right? So what we call it is organize, analyze, optimize. Let's organize all of these things first. The due diligence process, that's where the bulk of the work is done, right? A disproportionate amount of the work is done. Organize, analyze, optimize. Okay, great. Who's on the team? Where are you starting? What do you have? Where do you want to go, right? Now let's analyze it. Okay, out of what we say we want, and this is where the strategy comes in, let's analyze it. Our current thing that we're doing, is it congruent with what we now say we want? And honestly, Mark, what we find is first, just almost nobody has thoroughly designed what they want. And here's what I could say. If you can't, actually, let me show you this. Right? Like, literally, and I don't say this to brag, I'm saying, if you can't pull out your own document, this is my document personally, if it's not in an arm's distance away from you, then you have not done it properly, or you haven't treated it as important as it should be. Most people don't even have a printed version, right? It's like, so that's number one. Okay, then number two, it's like, okay, let's analyze the current things that you're doing. Are they congruent with what you actually want to accomplish? Then from there, you optimize it. Why? Because through the analysis process, you will inevitably find that your current situation looks like Swiss cheese. It's got a bunch of gaps in it, right? Sure. You might have some sort of plan, but it's like a Frankenstein model plan with like duct tape and bubble gum. Okay, cool. Let's reverse engineer that. Let's patch the holes. Now we get to the tactical level. Now that we have a throughput from philosophy, strategy, to tactics, now we go into pure execution mode. And man, when you can just execute without hesitation and pausing and having to reverse, it's all offense. And now you just keep on putting points on the board.
Yeah.
So that's where we try to get to.
Yeah. So all of this leads up to the execution, But that's a place where a lot of people fall short, right? Because of fears and uncertainty, doubts, those kinds of things, right?
Totally, 100%.
Yeah.
Right. So what I say there is, right, like financial leadership is preceded by financial literacy. And Mark, you're 100% correct, right? Part of the process is educating yourself on not only what you want, but also what are the tools that you could use to get there. If you're not thoroughly educated in like on how those tools are used and how they're effective and whether or not those tools or vehicles are right for you, then yes, there's a good chance that if we put you in an airplane and you experience turbulence for the first time and you are not educated on what turbulence looks and feels like, you are going to think you're dying, right? You're like, this plane is going down for sure. So our process, literally, we have a roughly a 6 hour seminar up front and then a two meeting at roughly an hour apiece. So you could argue we teach for between 8 and 10 hours prior to even allowing somebody to come on as a client. And I mean that literally. And it's not for our benefit. Well, it's for both. It's for their benefit and our benefit. If we don't educate up front, then there's going to be a problem down the road.
That makes a lot of sense because I can tell you that there are strategies that I do that work a lot of the time. But when they don't work because people don't understand them, they want to bail on them. And so you need to have them educated. You need to have them learn the turbulence. I think that's a great part of an onboarding strategy that seems like you are putting in place. That's great. So what are the things what are the things that are out there? So financial education, we're speaking the same language on that because we have such a lack of it in our society. But then it's the execution part we just talked about. What about long-term celebration? How do you put that into a process? Do you
Yeah, so great question. So that document I showed you earlier, we call it the lifestyle design exercise. We already have baked into the system that the money is supposed to be a medium of exchange to the desires you're trying to accomplish.
There you go.
So
Transformation.
yeah, it's baked in, right? So like and we draw a line in the sand and we say, "Hey, look, there are certain individuals, and I used to be one of them, by the way, of where they just want the numbers to increase in perpetuity. And that's totally fine, but we don't play that game."
Yeah.
Right? That's just not the game that we want to play, right? It's like we know that the end state of our money that we're managing for clients is going to be used for either their lives or usually like the immediate generation after, you know? If it's just to increase the zeros on the balance sheet, that's what I used to do on Wall Street. And there's nothing wrong with that. But my purpose and passion is different than that. To answer your question, the celebration is baked into the literally entire fabric. As an example, okay, we're going to use this money to fund our grandchildren's college education. Right? Or we're going to use this money to then buy our dream home, or we're going to use this money to solve for long-term care, or we're going to use this money for X, Y, and Z reasons. So it's literally baked. The conclusions are baked in at the line item level, like already.
Nice. Well, because it's so important to celebrate what you work on, right? And I think in our
Totally.
society, what we do is we just kind of put a check mark next to it and go next. But that was a lot getting to that point. And if you get there, you should reward your psyche with that, I believe. So that's good that you have a process for that
Yeah.
because it is in the results and it is in the transformation that people do get.
Is it okay if I
So
add something to that?
yeah, please.
So, from my understanding, I really love studying psychology and evolutionary biology and so on. Now, at the same time, I'm very much a novice in those arenas. But from my understanding, there's something called a Fisherian runaway in evolutionary biology, which is basically where, from my understanding, where a species will start to focus on the competition. And eventually could make itself extinct because usually the males, as smart as us males are, right? Like we can get confused by the competition being the end game, but we have to know when to stop the competition
That's
so
right.
that it's transferable to what we were originally trying to accomplish. So I have noticed this a lot. Like as an example, I was talking to a gentleman not too long ago who is currently on his path to divorce. They are legally separated right now because his wife wanted to buy a new Toyota RAV4, right? To put this in perspective, her current Toyota RAV4 is 12 years old.
Okay.
He, this is his words, and I know this to be true, he has $8 million in his brokerage account, right? They are in their 70s.
Oh, man. Wow.
He will not buy it. First of all, he looks at it as his money rather than their money. And like her name's literally on the account too, right? So it's like just we already see the frame problem here. So now she says, well, like this, I'm done. I've had enough of this, of where this would be a classic example of a Fisherian runaway. At what point, if we can't buy a new Toyota RAV4, which is a rounding error on your brokerage statement alone,
yes,
we've confused the competition for the end state, period.
Yeah.
And that's okay for him. But in my opinion, it causes the very type of dysfunction that they're illustrating right now. And I don't want to be part of it. That like that doesn't make me feel good. I used to play that game and I loved it back then. But now I see it's like, hey, this is about building financial leadership. And those leaders that I believe I'm training, right, are they're running families, they're running businesses where it's transferring to value in real time, in short term, medium term, and long term. Yeah.
Hey, it's Mark Yeager here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
How do you do that though? That, I mean, that's a conundrum in our society, right? Because we're programmed to achieve, right? When do you stop? When is it enough? When is the chase over? Because I can tell you that there's a period of time after you stop doing, let's say you sell your business. There's a period of time where you've lost your identity. Your identity used to be wrapped up in the business, and now you've got a shift in life. And what's your new identity? Mm-hmm. So the same thing is probably true. You're chasing, chasing, chasing. Maybe you're even in your 70s and you're still running with that same programming. How do you make the shift from, okay, I've chased. Do I continue chasing or do I now stop? Because if you stop, do you lose your chasing identity? Unpack that.
Man, I so appreciate the question because this is why I try to treat my study of psychology just as seriously as I treat my study of finances. They are very much entangled. Mm. Honestly, Mark, what I would say is for probably a lot of guys, number one, I'm going to venture to say, this is in a bad way, primarily a male problem, right? Because if we dissect it down to the chemical level, testosterone is a unidimensional hormone, which is like independence. I'm going to go hunt and kill. I'm going to go breed with people outside of my current tribe. Like all of these things is very independent. And that's to force the male away from the tribe so they don't crossbreed, right? And right, you're trying to diversify genetics. Like Robert Sapolsky out of Stanford University has an excellent course. It's for free on YouTube that talks a lot about this kind of stuff. So as males, especially if we come from like a traumatic background, like, hey, I was raised in poverty. So guess what? I've got a lot of negative feelings around money. Guess what my number is? My number is infinite, right? Like given my natural state, because there was so much pain around not having money when I was a child, my default mode is make as much money as possible. Now, I also think that's dysfunctional for me. Why? Because I have caused the destruction at my family's level. right? Knowing that I just haven't done the work to define the number. And then meanwhile, my family's saying, hey, you're working 100 hours a week, right? Like, we're good. If you managing $600 million is not sufficient, what's the number?
Yeah.
And if it's not 600, so what's more probable? It's more probable that I just haven't done the work to define the lifestyle that I want and that my stakeholders want, being my family, my friends, my employees, etc. That's just because I got lazy, honestly, because I think, I'm guessing, Mark, and don't let me put words in your mouth, once you get really good at a game, it's just easier to keep on playing that game.
Sure.
Because the feedback mechanisms are super quick and it's like we get the dopamine rushes and it's like, now I know how to play it. But when it comes to the more emotional stuff, or like, hey, like, why don't I take off for 2 weeks for Christmas? Why not? Right? Like, my family wants me to be like, why can't I bake cookies with just as much emphasis and joy? Why can't the money translate to the safety of the home with just as much conviction and emphasis as I put into the business? And I had an aha moment years ago. It's like, yeah, I'm just not doing that. Everybody else around me is right. Like, I'm being more selfish than I need to be.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's so true. And yeah, but we haven't been trained on how to make money. We haven't been trained on how to keep money. And we haven't been trained on how to set up our goals and exit the game properly either. So
yep.
Glad that you're taking a role in all three of those areas. So that's great. How can people work with you, find out more about you, what you do? How can you help them?
Yeah, hey, I appreciate it. I mean, full transparency, there is like zero sales pitch. I absolutely love teaching this stuff. I went on a mission not too long ago of, I deliberately told myself I was not going to speak on the internet until I felt that I had something to say. And there had to be a certain body of work that was done prior to me saying it. I feel like that work is finally sufficient. Now, to be fully fair, I am in a constant state of semi-satisfaction. So I know that it's going to keep on being like the horizon where it's like, I want to keep on building and so on. So I'm just starting this out. It's like, hey, I'm just going to start talking to the internet and, okay, and telling my candor and so on and what I've learned, and hopefully it's valuable. And then also giving room for like, hey, I'm sure I'm wrong about a certain amount of things and I'm going to edit those in the future if I find out those are to be wrong. So long story short, you can probably find me right now on Instagram, on YouTube. We have the founding partner of what's called Attican Wealth Partners. So our website's up there as well, but there's no sales pitch. However, I can be of service to people, I'm all in.
Okay. So on LinkedIn, you're Wes Rollins, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's probably a good spot. Instagram, you know, LinkedIn, those kind of things. Well, that's great. What two things, maybe three if you want, can you leave the audience with that they could take away? Action items or pieces of advice, information, something like that?
Yeah, systems build wealth, products or vehicles don't, right? Like, right. People often think, the first question I get, as you could probably imagine, is like, hey, you know, what kind of returns can I get? It's like, okay, well, what kind of investments are you looking for? And it's, then they think, right, people think that wealth building is investing. No, investing is a component of wealth building. The system is what builds the wealth. So I could tell you real quick, right? Number one, make money, save money, grow money. And then ideally protect the money. So make, save, grow, protect. Now, how should you do that? Short-term, medium-term, long-term assets, right? But make the money first. A lot of people want to talk about investing. It's like you only have $20, and that's not an insult. It's like, we don't have an investing problem. We have a making money problem. And there's a whole field, right? Like dedicated to that. And then it's like, okay, well, even if you're making enough money, too much money is going out of the door. So you have to save it. Now, again, this sounds so obvious, but we have to ask ourselves, are we actually doing it?
That's
right. Two big things for saving: make a decision. Most people have never made the decision. How much out of every dollar do I want going towards my future? They've just never made that decision, right? It's more casual. It's when it's convenient. So make the decision. Number two, automate that decision. I mean that sincerely, right? Like, remove yourself from the process, automate it, and you'll wake up one day and say, oh, shoot, like, actually, you have been saving a bunch of money. Then number three, how do you grow the money? Short-term, medium-term, long-term, and the appropriate vehicles at each one of those time horizons, right? You do not use a stock for a short-term goal. that this is why people, some people have a bad taste in their mouth. It's like, oh, well, stock market's risky. It's like, no, it's short-term volatile. So you do not use it for a short-term goal. That's the problem, is not the vehicle. The problem is you put an airplane in the goal of trying to get across town. You do not use an airplane to go 2 miles down the road, right? And then number four is protect the money, right? And protect it with basics, health insurance, auto insurance, basic term life insurance, whatever your risks are. If you can outsource them to another body, then do it. If you can insource it and like self-insure, then do that. But make sure you're working with a qualified professional, and maybe that's yourself, right? Like, but make sure it's all logical and mathematical, and then it's, you know, emotional and spiritual and like action oriented, all of that stuff. That's why I love the world of personal finance.
I love it. It is fascinating too. And there's infinite amounts of things that you could talk about and grow into. So thank you so much for being here today on the Wealth Architect Podcast. I appreciate your time, your wisdom, and the way you're explaining things. I love your analogies, by the way.
So, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. And everybody else who's listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning in to the Wealth Architect Podcast. And know what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.